What can you do when you don't care anymore? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Terry Eckersley, who lost his father at a young age, and he stopped caring about his life.
You know, my aunt died at a young age, and I saw that with my cousins. They started to get into drugs and just do whatever because they were at a loss. Their mom was their rock, their everything. And so when that happened, I mean, the whole family was pulled apart. And so when my aunt
when
she died, it was very difficult. And so they lost their way. And I feel like a lot of people do that. Their lives, something happens, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, what do I do now? And then not only what do, but I just don't care what I do.
I think it's easy for people to get that way, especially when a death happens, you know, or something unexpected happens, and we can get to the point where we kind of become bitter in life.
Yeah.
We become hurt, really. And basically we shut down.
Yeah.
And when you're shutting down in order to say, I will never be hurt that way again. I'm just going to become numb.
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure I don't feel those emotions and the pain that I felt because of that incident that happened.
Yeah.
And we can all go through this. And we get to the point where we just don't care anymore. And we just say, you know, what's the purpose anyways? Why try to do good? Why try to be a good person? I'm just going to do whatever.
It can be that way in relationships when you go through a hard time with someone and they keep repeating themselves in a situation. But sometimes it's not that they don't care. It's that they just don't want to be hurt anymore too.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are afraid that if they put their heart out there, they'll be hurt. So if they love someone, they could lose them. Or if they're in a relationship and that is hurting their heart, they're going to put up those walls or walk away from the situation or just say, you know, I don't care. Do what you want. Because they just don't want to get hurt.
Yeah. Well, you know, little kids aren't like that. Little kids tend to be very open and they're like, oh, you know, I love everyone kind of thing. But then as we get older and we get more and more hurt, we begin to shut down like that. So what do you do? What's the answer? The first thing is, I believe that we are all supposed to be healed and get healing in a way that we can open up again. Because if we don't have that healing, it's going to be very hard. You know, it's just like, just open up. No, nobody does that. People actually begin to shut down.
Yeah. And I feel like what has happened in my life that has really helped me and changed me is through these situations where I've been hurt or something's happened, a loss, I've had to turn to Jesus and realize He is the only stability that I have in this life because everything else in this world can go wild. But He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. So He had to become my plumb line, my rock, where it's like, hey, God, my world's falling apart, but I need You. And I go to Him and I can feel that peace because my eyes are on Him, not the situation, not the person.
Yeah, well, the Lord will actually heal you. He will take care of the problem. He doesn't just make you feel better. Yes, He brings all this peace, but He will actually heal you. It says in Exodus chapter 15, verses 26, the end part of it, it says, for I am the Lord who heals you. And man, did I experience that. When I came to know Christ, I experienced such healing that I could open up again. And almost, I mean, it was kind of euphoric. I almost became like a little kid again. When I got to my point in my life where after a divorce, you know, when my parents divorced, I just didn't really care anymore. But when I came to know the Lord, I began to become revived and to live again.
Yes, and the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my rock in whom I take refuge. Call out to Him. Let's hear from Terry Eckersley after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Thornton Family Dentistry and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Thornton Family Dentistry is committed to providing comprehensive dental and orthodontic care to your family, treating every patient as unique and special. They offer two locations for your convenience, 2300 East 120th Avenue, just east of York Street, and 810 East 88th Avenue, just west of Washington. Call them now for an appointment at 303-254-8828. That's 303-254-8828.
Do you like listening to the Real Life Radio Show and wish you had a way to share these powerful testimonies with others? Well, now you can. Go to our website at awakeningthenations.com and select from 25 different CDs, each containing 6 Real Life Radio Shows covering specific topics such as addiction, pornography, witchcraft, sexual abuse, suicide, and more. For a small donation, we'll send you CDs of your choice, Just go to www.awakeningthenations.com and order yours today. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Terry Eckersley, and when he was only 13 years old, his dad died. He found himself in and out of trouble and later on ended up in heroin, actually was addicted for 10 years of his life, and we're going to hear what happened and how he got freedom. Let's welcome to the show, Terry. Thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome. It's an honor to be on the show with you, and I'm looking forward to this interview.
Wonderful. So tell me about your life. It seems like things were going well for you all the way up until you were 13 years old. Tell me about your relationship with your father.
Okay, well, my father was a very loving, caring father. He'd sit me on his knee, sing songs. He was very kind, just a very loving person. My mum was the same, although she'd brought up five kids. I was the fifth, the youngest kid. And she was a very strong northern working class lady in the UK. So my dad was really the source of love. But I didn't see him much because he worked regular night shifts down a mine, a coal mine. So I only saw him in the mornings, on Sundays, and then on holidays twice a year. And then when he was 65, because they had me late, I was like a grandchild, it seemed. My brothers and sisters were the age of other people's parents at school. And indeed, one of my brothers, he had a son older than me. So that was a little strange. My parents were like grandparents' age.
Right.
When my father was retiring, I was going to see a lot of him. I thought this would be great. But on his first week of retirement, he was doing the priest's garden and he had a heart attack and he died suddenly.
Wow.
So tell me a little bit about your emotions and feelings when you lost your dad.
It was initial anger. This hit me very hard. Obviously, the double whammy. I lost my father, but then while he was doing God's business, or so I thought. So it hit me very hard. I got very angry, slammed my bedroom door and slammed the door of my heart. And I thought, that's it. Nobody's going to hurt me now. I had one of those sort of defining moments, I suppose. And then when I went back to school, I just really didn't care anymore. I didn't want to engage with class or studies. And I just engaged in not just mischief, but out and out trouble in school and out of school, you know. And then I started hanging around with other kids. I wouldn't say the wrong crowd. I would say other kids whose parents had gone through a divorce or were dying of cancer, or just a lot of hurt and angry kids. We'd get together, we'd get in trouble at school, out of school, and that quickly started to escalate.
Right. Were you raised in a godly home or Christian home, or where was God for you in this time?
I was raised in a Roman Catholic home. So what did that mean? That really meant going to church once a week on a Sunday, I remember. It's interesting to say and look back, but with hindsight, although I was born and raised Roman Catholic and we went to church, I didn't really know the presence of God or any conviction or understanding of God at all. And this was compounded by the fact that my father died doing the priest's garden. So I thought, really, God's so-called meant to love me. But really, God was always represented as a, you know, it was like, shh, quiet in the church. And it was almost like a fear of God, like God was an old man with a big stick who wanted to do you harm, you know, you had to be on your best behavior.
That's so true. So this might have worsened your feelings toward God, like he's far away, and not only that, he doesn't care too much about me if he's taking my dad.
Yeah, totally.
So you ended up starting to do drugs and really got into it even more later on. Tell me about that.
Well, I got in trouble first stealing sort of petty crime outside of school, and we were stealing cars. This was just as a 13-year-old boy, and I got put in the care of the local authority. And then later in my teens, I did get involved in smoking cannabis and amphetamine, and then crime progressed to more serious crime, drugs. And around that time, I started taking Class A control drugs, which was heroin, heroin substitutes like methadone and Dicanol, and all these very, very powerful drugs, you know?
And I understand because of your crimes and the things you were doing, you were in and out of jail and even prison, and added up to about 7 years of your life.
Yes, and that was like an average life sentence in the UK prison system. So that was in and out. I'd get in trouble in prison and get put down the segregation block. So I was really, really in a mess, you know?
Yeah. So you started doing heroin, and as you started to do this, did you think you were filling some kind of void, or Was it a high that you enjoyed? What is it about the drug that people just lose their minds over and that becomes all they focus on?
You've heard the saying that we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts. And I think when you have been hurt and you've got a lot of anger and you've been let down, which is life, you know, welcome to life. But then when I first experienced heroin, it's like, it feels like love. It's just like warmth. It gives you a sense of euphoria, a sense of well-being, and it just sort of melted all pain, all hurt, all fears away, you know. So it really does. You can see why people get addicted to it, because since I have known what the presence of God like, it's a very similar feeling to the presence of God. But of course, it's a counterfeit, you know. But I quickly became addicted to it, where I'd take it, then take more, and then your tolerance goes up. You need more, you take more. And then it just becomes the dominating factor in your life. Your whole life revolves around raising money to score drugs, scoring drugs, raising money for drugs. And it's just a vicious cycle, and getting addicted and then getting arrested and then going to prison and then coming out of prison. And that whole cycle, it brings a lot of extra pain and hurt and ruins lives.
Yeah. In fact, it started to ruin your life so much that you hit rock bottom and things were just spinning out of control. And we're going to share more about that on our next show. And we're going to pray for those who think that their addiction is what's helping them in life, but really they need freedom so that they can do what they're called to do. We're going to pray for those who are listening right now, and we'll have you on our next show, Terry.
Wonderful.
I think that's something that's very relatable for all of us, that we don't like to get hurt. And when we get hurt, we can easily say, that will never happen again, or I'm not going to get hurt ever again. And we can live our lives in a very protected fashion and almost like, you know what, who really cares? All I need to do is just look out for myself. What happens is we end up alone.
Yeah.
And we end up maybe hurting ourselves. And so, Father God, I'm praying right now for the listener who's saying, gosh, that's me. You know, I'm the one who's trying to do anything and everything not to be hurt, and I keep getting hurt. So Jesus, we take a moment and say, gosh, God, we can't do this. We can't just protect ourselves. We don't even have that power, not even that. So we take this moment to surrender to you. We ask you to come into our lives, God, and we ask for you to protect our hearts, oh God, and maybe even give us new hearts, Lord.
Yeah.
So Jesus, we receive you. We believe in you. We give our lives to you. We repent from our past to walk into the new future with you, in Jesus' name.
And if you have that feeling in your heart that you're trying to fill yourself, the answer is Jesus. Call out to him and he will fill you like no drug can. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.